Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor right here in Cajun country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, on today's episode of the podcast, we have a replay of a class that Shauna Martinez and I hosted on Zoom called Open House Momentum. And this class was all about open houses and how to dominate this lead generation source. So y'all, we host these live mastermind groups once a month, and I'd love for you guys to be a part of it. Shoot us a message on Instagram, and we'd be glad to get you registered for all of our upcoming classes. And we post the information about those classes on our Instagram page at Real South Agents. So guys, I'm excited to take you into the class right now for our replay, and I hope that you enjoy it. Welcome to the Real South Agents Mastermind. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'll be your host today, aka your Barbara Walters. I will be asking the questions that you want to know, and this will be an interactive meeting, so you'll have a chance to unmute later on in the meeting so that you can ask any questions. But do me a favor, as you think of those questions, put those questions in the chat, and then we'll answer them as we go. So we're calling this training today Open House Momentum. And today's guest is someone who doesn't just talk about momentum. She builds it, she scales it, and teaches other agents how to do it without wasting a single lead. Shauna Martinez is one of the top real estate agents in Argyle, Texas, and one of the top percent agents in the nation, y'all. She is known for her 100 listing appointment challenge. Her proven systems have turned open houses into a nonstop pipeline, and her ability to create and help agents is so awesome, y'all. She runs the Momentum Group in Facebook, and we'll definitely, Shauna, drop that into the chat maybe so that agents can go follow you there. But when it comes to open houses, she isn't guessing. She's built a full strategy around them, from prep to follow up to conversation. And she's here today to break down her exact strategy on open houses, her number one lead source. Y'all, I'm so excited to welcome from the performance team with Real Broker, my friend, Shauna Martinez. Welcome, Shauna. How are you?
Wow, I'm good. First of all, that was a really long-winded introduction, and I owe you some money for that, I think. So I think we're good here. We can just, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
So honestly, I am just so excited to, one, have the opportunity to come on and be on this call, but two, I see a lot of familiar faces. So some of this stuff might be a little bit of a repeat for you, which might be a good thing. I'm one of those people, I need to hear things several times before sometimes it actually sinks in. And I'm in a different headspace sometimes where somebody might have said something before and I didn't really catch on to it. And then I'll catch on to it again later on. So hopefully if you've heard some of this information, you still get some value out of it. So my intent to today is, one, teach you that you can absolutely build a 6 or 7 figure business doing open houses as your main lead source. And two, I want you to understand that you just need to have systems and processes around things. Can we just agree that if you're doing something in your business, that you need to have a system and process in place for it? Like if you've done it once or you do it 100 times, like you need to have like a checklist and things like that. So lucky for you guys, I am literally going to be sharing everything with you. In fact, I got to grab the link from my team and put it in the group chat, but I will do that. They just got it to me. I was in the middle of negotiating some things. So without further ado, so for those of you who do not know me, I'm Shauna Martinez. I run a micro team here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And by that, I mean, it's just myself and support staff. But the way that I'm set up at my brokerage at Real, I have to compete with small teams. And I'm actually in the top 8 of small teams of all of Real, 30,000 plus agents. And my business was built on 2 different things. It was started out with open houses, and then I switched over to expireds. And now I'm back to doing open houses. There's a reason for that. It's because if you need business now and you want to build your pipeline now, open houses, I believe, is hands down the best lead source out there, because not for what you think it's for. Now, most people think that doing an open house is you're trying to market to the buyers to get buyers to come through the open house, correct? Is that what most people think an open house is for? Because sellers want you to do the open house, right? But here's the thing is if you do it right and you use even my systems and processes, which I'm going to share with you in a link in the group chat shortly, you're actually marketing to the other sellers out there. So my thought is when I do an open house is I'm not just there. First of all, let's back up for a second. We need to all understand that our time has a dollar amount tied to it. And if I'm doing an open house, the reason why I chose to do open houses is because one, it was just effort and time. It wasn't really money. It didn't really cost anything. When I got in the business, I was like everybody else, you know, just sign here, go sell some houses. And and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I didn't have anybody to teach me how to do anything. And so I was like, well, I'm just gonna do open houses because I see agents do that. I had no rhyme or reason. So I tell everything I share with people in my momentum group or anything online are like things that I wish people had shared with me. So I've been through all of the hard things and I'm teaching you like you can do it better than me and you can do it in a shorter amount of time. And can we get an amen? Because time is money, right? So when I got into doing open houses, no one taught me how to do anything. I didn't even know about having anything at the open house. I didn't know about signs. I didn't know about picking the area that you want to do the open house in. And let me tell you why that is the gift that is not giving. Because where I started my business out doing open houses randomly without any rhyme or reason, I still get a lot of business there and I don't want to be there. And because it's like an hour away from me. So first thing I will say is if you are going to make open houses your main lead source, you need to figure out where you want to actually conduct business. And you need to be focusing in those areas. Now, I'm a listing agent primarily. If you guys don't know me, I competed in the 100 Listing Appointment Challenge. And so I became a very strong listing agent from that. But I will tell you that I don't always host my own open houses because maybe I have an open house or maybe I have a listing that's 45 minutes away in an area that I don't really want more business. So, like, why am I still taking listings there? That's a whole thing I'm working out with my therapist. Another call later. But because I hate to say no, first of all, I'm a yes person. I'm working through it. We are working through it. I would say make sure it doesn't have to be your listing. It could be somebody else's listing in your office. It could be a friend's listing. It could be a for sale by owner. And that's a great way, by the way, to convert for sale by owners into listing with you is to offer to do open houses for them on their listing, especially if it's in a price point you want to work and it's in an area that you want to work in. I will tell you that there is an abundance of business. Let me repeat that. There is an abundance of business for agents who can solve problems and think outside the box. And that's one of the ways that you can do that when you want to work with for sale by owners. Some of my best clients came from for sale by owners, by the way. But right now, I will tell you that if I had to go out and sign a contract in the next week and I needed to pick up somebody and my pipeline was empty, I would be hosting an open house every single day of the week. And I say that because you can get a lot of traction through the middle of the week, especially like in the evenings or late afternoons. I find that every market's going to be different, but I find in our market that our open houses during the week do best, like 5 to 7 p.m., 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And then, but it's not just putting a sign in the yard and just putting in the MLS and expecting people to show up. Does that work? Yeah, sometimes. If it's like the first weekend that's been on the market, if it just hit the market, if it's a hot listing in a great area priced really well, like, yeah, then you could probably put in a little bit less effort. But here's the thing is, I have a system and process around how I do open houses because I don't want to just sell that house. I want to pick up. My goal is every listing that I do and every open house that I do, that I get at least one deal from it on the open house because it has a dollar amount tied to it. Every open house I do has like an $18,000 commission check tied to it based on my average sales price and my commission. So it's worth my time to do it. One. And then also, I want to take every listing. If I have a listing and I do open house, I want to get three deals from every listing that I do. And this is one of the ways that I do that because the system and checklist that I use, because through trial and error and what I know works and doesn't work, by default, I'm doing my prospecting, I'm setting appointments, I'm having conversations, I'm meeting the community, like all the things to have more conversations. Because what do we know? The person with the most conversations wins. And the more conversations you have, the more appointments you set. And the appointments are what drive your revenue. So for me, when I did the 100 Listing Appointment Challenge, that's what it taught me is that my hourly rate is very high. So I only need to do those hourly rate activities. Everything else needs to be delegated. But it also taught me to be consistent in anything that I'm going to do. And we're just doing the same things over and over and over. That's literally what you're doing. And you're just being really good at doing it. So if you're going to do open houses, I think you need to go all in. It's either all or nothing because you could end up being those people that I see online when I talk about how open houses have been successful for me. And they say, oh, I've been doing them for years and I never get anything out of it. Well, when I ask, like, why are you still doing them? You know what I mean? Like, if it's not working, maybe pick a different lead source. And two, like, show me your system and process around it, and I'll tell you where you're having issues and why you're not able to convert. So I start working on my open houses. Like, if I'm going to host an open house, I want to know about it like Monday that I'm going to be hosting that open house on Saturday or Sunday. And what I tell new agents that I mentor, because I do mentor agents at my brokerage, what I tell them is host the same listing on Saturday and Sunday. That way, all the effort that you're doing for the entire week by prospecting and sending mailers and all of that kind of stuff, you're only having to do the work once for two different open houses. And some people that can come on Saturdays won't be able to come on Sundays and vice versa. So, I think that's a great idea to do that because then it's less work and you're still getting a lot of outcome and ROI from it, right? So, one of the first things that I do is I look at things from like an aerial standpoint. I say, okay, what kind of people do I want to work with and how am I going to attract those types of people? One is working in the price point that you want to be in. There's a friend of mine on TikTok. I became friends with a lot of TikTok people because I'm not afraid. Obviously, I don't mind talking and I have no problem reaching out and asking people questions and telling them I admire what they're doing. One of those people is Sam Walls. And I was actually telling Jamie about this. I was like, you need to get him on your podcast. He's so great. He's going to come on my momentum group. But what he's done is, he's dedicated 100 open houses in 100 days. He is less than 100. He's 91 open houses in, and he still has like 30 days left in the challenge. He's an agent who has been licensed a little over a year, I think. I think he's like 20 or 21 years old. He's been on my calls about open houses, and he said, hey, Shauna, like, I took a lot of notes, and this is all great, but just so you know, like, I just show up. And he is the person that just puts it in MLS and shows up. But he has over 10 people in contract right now from his 100 open house challenge that he's done. And that's all he did. He didn't do the mailers, the door knocking, or any of that. So what he did was he figured out what clients he wants to work with, and that is first-time home buyers. And I will tell you, as somebody who works higher end luxury listings and buyers, I would take a first-time home buyer every day, all day in this market. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I would, because I would just send them to new builds and they're offering bonuses and all kinds of stuff, and they're getting a good deal and a great rate. And first-time home buyers just think you're amazing for doing what you're supposed to be doing anyways, where other people who've maybe sold a couple of houses think they know better than you. Well, first of all, I won't work with those people because what are you hiring me for if you know everything? I'm not a paper pusher. And also, can we also agree that we are not door openers? That is not our job. Your value does not come from opening doors. In fact, that is like your least value that you give. And so it is showing your value, right? So that's one of the ways that I get people and I convert at such a high rate when I do actually do the open houses. So let's talk about how I get people in, right? So Monday, I sit down with my checklist and my team and I say, okay, these are the things we're going to do. We're going to do a Facebook event. And the reason why we do a Facebook event is because if somebody's driving around the area, it will pop up on their Facebook, right? Now, I will tell you that there is a bill that got passed that you're not allowed to put a ton of signs out in the public streets and roads. You could maybe get those taken up. Until I get my hand slapped or the city picks up all my signs, I still put out like 30 or 40 signs for every open house. And they are all branded. They're all the same color. There's arrows. And that way, there's no question that there's an open house happening. And if you're in a neighborhood and there's multiple ways to get into that neighborhood, you need to have your sign at every single corner and every single intersection. So we do that. We put it in MLS, obviously. And then we do a lot of marketing leading up. Like, I do Facebook Lives on my page. I'll do a video walkthrough. But here's how you can leverage it to sellers, right? So one of the things we do is we send out handwritten. Now, handwritten is the keyword, handwritten invitations. We send it out on like Monday or Tuesday. And we go ahead and send one to us too, just to make sure, like, we know it got in the mail and it got to people. But we send it out specifically to homeowners in the area that have been on the market and came off, so they were expired, they're canceled or withdrawn. And we go back like 2 or 3 years. And I will send a handwritten invitation to all of those sellers. Why? Because I want them to see, okay, look, I got a letter in the mail. It's got her brand, it's got her logo, it's got her name. Like, okay, like, that's crazy. She invited me to this open house. And then they're going to see all my signs out. And then they're going to come probably by the open house and they're going to see like how we market open houses from an exterior standpoint. And they're going to be like, man, my agent didn't do any of that. And then what do you think the conversation is going to be when they come into that open house? Because here's the thing is you need to ask specific questions. This is how you convert at a high level. You need to ask specific questions when people come into that open house. You need to say, hey, welcome to 123 Main Street. I'm Shauna Martinez. Hey, just out of curiosity, how did you hear about the open house? Was it our signs? Was it Facebook? Oh no, we got a letter. Oh, okay, great. So you live in the neighborhood. Why do I know that? Because not only do I send it to sellers that live in the neighborhood, but I send it to renters that live in the neighborhood too. And the reason why is because a lot of people, one, that's an untouched lead source, I think. Most people don't want to work it. It's very easy. It's free. Again, a handwritten invitation. So usually Monday, it's just a bunch of envelopes that we're addressing, hand addressing, and putting out. And I just do it like on a white envelope, but I know some people do it like with a black envelope with white pen. Like however you want to do it is fine, but handwritten is like the key word. It has to be handwritten. I get mass mail, like you want to print it out because it's faster, but somebody made a comment on a page the other day and said, "Hey, I'm doing door knocking, but should I just put this stuff on the door and then just keep going?" And like, what is the goal here? Is the goal to like count how many doors you can put those things on, or is your goal to have conversations with people and get your name known in the area? If that's the case, like you need to knock on the door, don't just put it on the door, right? It's the same thing for an open house. Like you are hosting an open house to get business, to build your pipeline. So do things that are going to get you a good result. Don't do things just to check it off the list and say you did it. There's a reason behind everything that you're doing. Otherwise, don't do it, right? So we send out handwritten invitations to renters, and the renters, we have our lender do a mock estimate based on different price scenarios and payment scenarios and like, loan differences and stuff like FHA versus VA versus conventional. And we include that in the letters because if they're renting in that neighborhood, especially at a high amount, let's say they're paying $5,000 a month for rent in that neighborhood, which is not unheard of, by the way, which is crazy. But they could buy the home for around that amount. Like they need to know that. Because if they live in the neighborhood, they're renting, you know how much they're paying for it. So you know that they're paying a premium price. They probably like living there. And maybe somebody hasn't told them that, hey, it's kind of easy to buy a home in this neighborhood if you love it. So sending those handwritten invitations is, I think, super big for us personally. Now, getting their information sometimes. So I'm doing kind of like an overview. So feel free to stop me and ask me any questions. But the best way, and we've done feedback cards where we give people a board with a pen and a feedback card and ask things like, what's your name? And then ask like, on a scale from 1 to 5, what is the curb appeal? Scale from 1 to 5, what do you think of the interior, the smell? Like you ask all the questions because people love to give their opinions, right? We're like in a Karen. Everybody loves to be a Karen. So anyways, this guy gives them an opportunity to tell you what they feel about the house or what they like about the house or don't. And at the end of that, they can put on there their name and their email address. And they also, there's a spot in there that says, are you working with an agent? And you can check yes or no. And then you can ask them the time frame, 1 to 3 months, whatever. We got a pretty good response on that. But I will tell you what totally crushed that was we put in Canva, and I'm going to provide that for you. We made a template that has the picture of the house in the background, and then it says, yeah, all guests are required to sign in unless you're accompanied by a realtor. And it's a QR code they scan. And most people will stand out in front, and we tape it to the front door. We don't put it inside, or it's like basically like, you want in, here's the ticket to get into this open house. And I will tell you, we probably get 75% of people that come through open houses filling that form out. And that's really great because it goes directly into my CRM. So that way I know. And so when it goes into my CRM, it says, oh, they came to the open house for 123 Main Street. This is their contact information. Because it's not just about what you do to prepare for the open house and showing up and actually having the open house. It's also like about your follow-up after the open house. But when people are there at the open house, I'm asking questions to genuinely get to know who they are in their situation. Now, you need to know your market. What is your market known for? Is it a second home market? Is it a first-time home buyer market? Is it people relocating? Here in Dallas-Fort Worth, we're still getting over 1,000 people a day moving here. So I know that we have a lot of relocation people coming here. And I know that if they're moving from a different state, you know how it is. Every state is different as far as the process for buying a home. So I have my buyer books there that are nice and binded. We spend a lot of time and money putting those together. And then I also have a relocation guide. And I want to give those to people who are relocating because it has like things like restaurants and places to go and things to do and all of that stuff, right? But what I love about it is I will ask them, well, tell me what you know about buying a home here in Texas in today's market. And they'll say, we actually don't know anything. Or even better, you could say, has anyone sat down and explained the process of buying a home in today's market in our area? And if they say no, say, okay, that's one of the first things that we do when we onboard clients. We want to make sure it sounds exclusive because it is. I don't just work with anybody. If you know me, like the word no is amazing. I love saying it a lot. And so, except for my kids, apparently they apparently they're like the exception, but I say no to people a lot. I don't take all the business that comes for me because I get a lot that's given and it's not always going to be a good fit. And so I will ask them, you know, if they've done that, and hey, the first thing that we do for onboarding new clients is we sit down and do a buyer strategy session. Whether you're buying right now or you're going to be buying in 2 years, it doesn't matter. I'm not on my time frame. I'm on your time frame. But what I know about buying a home in today's market or even at all is that the more proactive you can be, the less stressful and the better the situation is going to be and the transaction will be for you. And I would love to schedule that time. Is there a good day and time that works for you? Or are you open to scheduling that time with me? You know, so asking those open-ended questions and things like that. If somebody's moved here, it's like, okay, where did you move from? Because then you're like, okay, oh, did you own a home there? Oh yeah, we still own it. Oh, are you going to rent it out there or will you eventually sell it? Because why? What am I thinking? I'm thinking, who can I connect that person with if they have a listing to sell in that other market? I know the best agents everywhere. Some of them are on these calls. I can see some right now that I'm like, I refer deals to them and I will continue to refer deals to them. I'm always thinking of opportunity, but more importantly, I think, what value can I bring to someone coming into my open house? I lead with value and I ask a ton of questions and then I provide solutions to the things that they say, or I provide them information based on the information that they're telling me. By the end of the open house that they're there, by the time they leave, they are asking me, hey, can I give you my contact information? Because I ask questions like, how has your home search been going? Oh, it's been going good. We've been like going to open house. Oh, okay, great. Are you like, is an agent showing these? Or like, how are you touring properties right now? Oh no, we're just going to open houses. Okay, great. Like, has anyone taken the time to explain to you what it's like buying a home in today's market? No. Okay, great. That's one of the first things we do. We onboard clients. You know, what is it that you're looking for specifically? Is it this type of home? Are you still kind of in the discovery phase? Just ask more questions and get deeper and deeper. But one of the things that I always end up getting a lot of people to reach out to me or tell me, hey, take my contact information, even if they're working with an agent. I don't want you to think, oh, because they work with an agent, they're not a lead. They are always a lead. Because how many of you guys know that they are working with agents and probably have not signed a buyer rep agreement? A lot of times, right? Or they'll say, oh, yeah, I have an agent. Okay, great. You know what? I know a lot of agents. Like, maybe I know your agent. What's your agent's name? And you can tell really quick if they actually are working with an agent because they'll know the name like that. And if they don't, they'll be like, oh. And then before you know it, they'll be like, oh, well, it's my cousin's sister's brother's, you know, niece is twice removed or, you know, like not really somebody they're working with. So you figure that out, right? So I say, you know what? One of the things that we do is we specialize in finding off-market properties for clients. Because even though we have more inventory than we've had in a long time, we have over 5 months of inventory right now. There's a lot of homes on the market that maybe are not going to be a good fit for you. Like, if you want to tell me what you're looking for, one, I go on 30 listing appointments on average a month. So I have a really good pulse on the market before the houses hit the market. I like to matchmake. My superpower is matchmaking, either people through small businesses together with vendors, which I have as well, or buyers and sellers that are a seller that wants to sell and a buyer that wants to buy. I know Nick is really good at doing this with the listingleads.com stuff. She does the magic buyer letter. I know that's been super successful for her. It's kind of like the same thing, but you're doing it like in a one-on-one belly-to-belly type of thing at your open house. Why would somebody not want to work with you? Because here's the thing is I have been at open house where there was like 50 people. This was recently. So like in this market, there were like 50 people to this open house. In fact, my agent was hosting it and I could tell she was overwhelmed. So I went there to help her. And I was talking to this guy and it started out, he had this agent he was working with and they're looking at houses and blah, blah, blah. Right. And I started talking about, okay, what is it you're looking for? I can go out and find it. Even if you give me your agent's information, I'll go out and find the inventory. Why? Because it gives me a reason to reach out to sellers to try to get their listing. I don't like to reach out to people and say I have a buyer when I don't have a buyer. I want to call people and go, you know what? This buyer came in through my open house last weekend and they're looking for exactly what your home is. It came off the market 6 months ago. I see that it never sold. If they wanted to set up a one-time showing, would you be open to that? Just so you know, they're represented by another agent, but their agent's not prospecting for them. I'm going out and actively looking for properties for them because that's an issue. And what happens is when you're talking to those buyers like that and you're telling them everything that you will do and things that you're doing for your clients, the first thing they think is, well, my agent's not doing that stuff. And they'll say, you know what? Like, my agreement's going to be up in like 30 days or whenever it is. Like, this is my information. Give me a call in 30 days. I want to talk to you more about this because I would love to work with an agent like you. And I never cared so much about designations before, like, you know, on your signature, like mine can go on for days or whatever. I mean, I sell houses. Okay. Big whoop. Right. But that doesn't mean anything to a client other than the fact that I'm transacting in this market. But I'm a negotiation expert, so like I always talk to them about things that we're negotiating in this market. I can't tell you the amount of people that on threads online that'll be like, "Oh, I didn't know I can negotiate all that." Oh, you can negotiate everything. People don't understand that. That's what buyers need. That's what your clients need. They need someone who understands what you can and cannot do and how you can get them a better deal and not pay market sticker price for it, because in this market, nobody should be doing that for the most part. I mean, especially in my market. I tell agents, if you've been on my calls before, I will preach this till I die. You can put it on my headstone, probably. But I always say, lead with value without the expectation of getting anything in return, and watch your business completely go crazy. I can go from like this week, I was like, oh man, I only have like two deals pending in December. I just got an offer accepted today. I got three more buyers I'm showing now. Like before the end of this week, I will probably have four or five extra pending transactions that were not originally on my books for December. And it can happen like that. But the only reason why is because I never stop doing the money-making activities, which is prospecting, setting appointments, going on appointments, and open houses. Like open houses, I think is the best lead source out there, because even if you are going to offer something, right? So I used to do like, sign in here for a chance to win a $50 gift card or whatever it was. Whatever you're going to offer, like you should have your vendors partnering with you. Like some of my vendors are on here, actually. I think I saw one of my lenders on here. Like you should not be carrying that burden your alone, because guess what? Everybody is going to be touching that transaction, that file that you bring to them. So your title company, your inspector, your home warranty company, your lender, those are just a few of the people that you should be asking for support for these things, because the more business you can get, the more business they get. So it's a win-win situation. Even better, have a lender come with you to your open house and sit the open house with you, and they can sit there and talk numbers and teach them about the market as far as what's going on with the interest rates. They can pre-approve them on the spot. It's like a package deal, right? It's like, oh, I can help you buy and sell your house, and they can help you get qualified for it, and bam, you could do it right here at 123 Main Street at our open house right now, right? But let's talk about if you don't have a lot of people coming through the open house, or it doesn't matter what you do as far as effort, you're not getting people to come through. That happens sometimes, right? I'm a big advocate for being extremely productive. Like if I'm in the school pickup line for my son, which I have to be there 45 minutes to an hour early just to like even get a good spot to be in line, I will do videos in my car that I can put as green screen later. Like I don't care that I'm in my car with my seat. I just take my seatbelt off and I just record the video right here. No fancy tools, just my phone and the sunlight coming through the windows. And I can record five or six videos right there. It's the same thing when you go to an open house. One, use that time to create content by doing B-roll. You could just be taking 5, 6, 7 second videos of like walking through the kitchen, showing the island. You know, go anytime you do something, I will tell you, like if you go into a room and you walk directly across to the furthest wall and then turn, that's the best way to take a video of a space. Do that for every room in that house. And then guess what? Now you have B-roll so that you can use it later. Because what's trending right now is people not even talking on camera. It's having a trending sound with a 6 or 7 second B-roll clip. And guess what? You got it from possibly not even your own listing. Like use your time wisely. You can also record content. Like especially if there's some good lighting, trust me, I'm putting my hair back. I got this. I may have my headphones, I may not. I may have my microphone. And by the way, I just bought these like little things off of TikTok. I think it's like a microphone and thing that goes into your phone. Like no big deal. It sounds really good, but if you go on my social media, you'll see like you can hear echoing. Like I don't get bogged down in all of that. I just do the content that I'm gonna do, and I use my time wisely. You can use it as a video walkthrough time. You can do a video walkthrough, go live, interact with people. Algorithm loves live, by the way. Like there's so many things that you can do. If your open house is 2 hours long and you had nobody come in and you didn't do anything, you just wasted 2 hours of your time for no reason. Like, and now you're going to leave and now you start to do all these things on your to-do list. Like, why not knock that stuff out while you're there? Bring your computer, you know, bring your stuff with you. Because guess what? If somebody comes in, they're like, actually, we're kind of interested in this house. You know what? Let me pull that right up. Boom, 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 pull it up. And you can pull it up right there and show them. And you can say, you know what? This open house will be over about 3:30. By the time I pick everything up and, you know, do my callbacks and stuff, like, I could show you starting at 3:30. Like, would you like me to schedule that showing for you? And you could schedule it right on the spot. And then you could say, if it's somebody that's not from that area, have you had lunch? Like, oh, there's a great spot down the road. You can go here. One of my best clients came from doing that tactic, by the way, at an open house that was an hour away from where they actually ended up buying. But I got them from an open house that wasn't even my listing. And I told them, hey, go down here for lunch. I'm going to schedule a showing for these couple of houses that you said you wanted to see. I'm going to let you know when those are approved. What's your information so you get their name and number? I always have a piece of paper or a notebook there because when I have conversations with people, I'm asking questions like, if they're from the neighborhood, oh, where do you live? Oh, I live over on such and such street. Oh, okay, what's your name? Even if they just say, hey, my name is Laura, you can write Laura down, right? And then they say, oh, we live over on 6th Street. Okay, great. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? Oh, you know, we bought in like 2019. Okay, great. And guess what? When they leave, I'm writing down as much as I can remember in my head. Why? Because I can go look on the tax records later on that street, and I can sit there and go through each address and see if I can find a Laura. And then I know that's where they live and that's their house, right? And then I can start mailing to those people, or I can send them a handwritten thank you card afterwards saying, hey, thank you so much for coming to the open house. And they're gonna be like, how do they even know this information? Because I'm a stalker, that's why. Plain and simple. I stalk people. In fact, so one thing that we started doing on our listings, which is not the same as an open house, but one thing we did on our listings, thank you, Tally Hunt, who's actually going to be a guest on my Momentum group. She's amazing. If you don't follow her, you need to. She started putting QR codes directly on her listing signs with a arrow that says, want to schedule a showing? Scan here. Why? Because she said, I'm tired of my leads going to Zillow. She goes, and people will be less likely to go to Zillow and pick up their phone and try to look at some other place to find a way to get an agent to come open the door. Then they will just scan in the QR code. And so you scan the QR code and it goes directly to a landing page. They can schedule the showing right there with you. Like, it's amazing. So we do that on our listings. I'm showing a buyer. So when she reached out to me, it had her name or email address and a phone number, right? And the address that they wanted to look at, which I'm showing her on Saturday. I took her phone number, put it in Forewarn, and found out that she lived on a street three streets over because they're want to upsize and sell their house in that same neighborhood. But instead of me being like, what's your address? I didn't have to do that. I took her number, put it in Forewarn. I got her name, I got her address, and I was able to pull up comps and see, does she even have any equity in her home if she wanted to sell? So I knew information that she doesn't even know I know. When I meet with her on Saturday, I'm going to be talking about things. She's going to be like, how did she even know this information? But guess what? She's not working with an agent. I'm going to be showing her and providing value at that house. And I know without a doubt, I'm going to get the listing whenever she wants to sell. There's no question I will get that listing. And I got that listing that she scanned the QR code off of. How? I went on a local Facebook page and I said, hey, it was for us personally. I said, I'm a local real estate agent. We are looking for a home. This is the criteria we're looking for. We're very specific because I move every year and a half on average. Not fun. I had eight people reach out to me because I said, I've seen everything on the market. If you are thinking about selling and you are not in the market and you match this criteria, can you please reach out to me? Well, nobody wants to comment on the page, right? They just come to your DMs. I got eight leads, and one of them was that house, and it is a $750,000 house. And I'm also going to help them when they move to get another property. So I have a potentially $20,000+ paycheck because I went out to Facebook and I put a post. And guess what? You could do the same thing for the buyers. I went to Nextdoor and did that the same thing. I said, hey, I have a buyer that's looking. This is their criteria in this area, blah, blah, blah. And I got a listing lead off of it. And then you're showing value to your buyers. And these are the things that you should be talking to people about when they come through the open house, about how you are helping people. You're not just letting homes hit the MLS. If that's the case, they could just do it themselves. No, I'm actively out here looking for properties for clients. And guess what? I'm not going to spam you. I don't do anything on auto, like nothing set up as a, you know, an auto. If I reach out to you, it's because I'm reaching out to you. Communication and transparency are my two biggest value propositions that I have in my business. So those are the two things that are very, very important to me. When people hear that, they're like, oh, okay. And you go, you know what? I sell about 100 homes a year in this neighborhood. I know a lot of people. Like, I know a lot of different things. Like, what can I help you with? Can I make your move easier? Like, do you need preferred vendors for moving? Do you need, you know, guess what? When you move into the house, one of the things that we have done for our buyers, this is another reason why people want to work with us, is I said, one of the things that we do for our buyers and our sellers is I actually have agreements with all of my preferred vendors that I have personally vetted myself to make sure they were worth being on my list. Not only did I negotiate preferred pricing for my clients specifically, but I also got it to where you could pay it at closing. So if it's a seller that you're going to go and list their home and they need some things done, they can get paint, carpet, all kinds of stuff. They don't have to get a loan for it, nothing. My vendors will come in and do it, and they can pay for it at closing. And you should see like the light bulb moment that goes off, and they're like, wait, like, really? Like, you did that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm all about helping people. Like, what can I do to help you? And when you come from a place of not about a paycheck, because people can smell commission breath from a mile away, like the opportunities come. You have to have the conversations. I will tell you that if you don't like talking, you probably just need to be somebody's assistant. Because if you don't like talking to people, like that's probably why your pipeline isn't filling up. I will tell you, my pipeline, I treat it like my babies. I'm like, oh, let me see what I got going on today. And then I literally go through my pipeline every single day and I make sure that I touch every single one of those people at least once a week. just to check in, but I don't ever check in. What I do is, like right now, I'm reaching out to buyers that are kind of on the fence or thinking about buying soon. And I say, hey, just want to let you know about this killer deal that my client just got at a new build community over here in this area. We negotiated this, and this. They're getting into it. Their payment's going to be this amount, all that stuff. Or you could reach out to sellers as well and say, hey, you know what? The Fed's going to drop the rate this month. And last time when they dropped the rate, in anticipation of that rate dropping, the mortgage rates followed. It actually dropped ahead of time. And so we're probably going to be looking at the lowest interest rate since 2023 or 2022. I think 2022. When this Fed rate drops, if the mortgage rates do the same thing, if they, in anticipation, drop the rate as well, guess what? That means more buyers are going to be entering the marketplace. If you've been thinking about wanting to put your house in the market, that might be a good time to actually pull the trigger, like in providing value.
So we did have a question in the chat and I wanted to make sure we got to it, but I had a question too, as far as like, how do you select the houses that you actually do the open houses at? So that's my question. And then also Jill had asked a question in the chat saying, how do you find the homes that have been on the market but didn't sell? And is there a certain way that you're searching for those homes in the local MLS? So those are the two questions.
Yes. Great questions. So they may not have been on at the very beginning when I was talking about how to pick your open houses. You need to pick open houses in the area that you want to work and the price range you want to work them. And I will tell you this, my rule of thumb is if I'm hosting an open house for another agent, like in my market or in my office or my brokerage or whatever, I will not host that open house if it's been on the market for more than 2 weeks without a price improvement. So it has to be on the market like that first week, the first 2 weeks, or if it's after that, I want to look and see if it's in a price improvement. Because how many times do you see agents going, oh, I have this house that needs to be hosted open, and it's been on the market for 100 and something days? It's like people who have seen it have seen it. And agents who keep telling their sellers that you're going to do an open house every single month, like you or every week, like you don't need to stop. And I'll tell you what, like I throw those people under the bus. I say, you know what? People do it because they say that like that's how they're marketing a home, but actually less than 1% of people will walk into the open house and buy that home. Like, our job is to market it online to all the buyers. So I just tell the sellers ahead of time, I'm going to do an open house that first week and it hits the market. And then after that, I won't do it again unless it goes into contract and back out of contract or you do a price improvement. I just tell them. And if they're wanting an agent's going to do an open house every single weekend, okay, good luck. I'll come in and see the open house with your other agent when you hire them. You know, it's like, I'm just not going to do it. Stop being yes people. You have to stop being a yes person. So yes, only pick them in the price range you want to work and also in the areas that you actually want to be. So whether that's your farm or an area that you want to move to or whatever it is, like that's how I choose them. And I choose them based on how long they've been on the market if it's not my own listing. So what I would do is I would send a text or an email to every agent that had a listing that hit the market that week. Whoever responded back to me first and saying, yeah, that I could host their open house is the one that I did the open house for. The second question was,
Yeah, but
say that
how you
again.
find them in the how you find them in the local MLS? How are you finding those houses that I guess have maybe, she said, that have been on the market but didn't sell? So I'm assuming she means like expired or canceled.
Yep. So there's a couple ways you can do it. I use Espresso Agent. I've been using them for 6 or 7 years. It gives me all of the non-underoccupied information. It gives me potential sellers that want to list based on rank, based on scores. It tells me withdrawns, canceled, for sale by owners, for rent by owners, which is a great lead source, by the way. For rent by owners is great right now, especially. And so I have that. But you could also just, the reason why Espresso Agent or Red X or Vulcan 7 or any of those would be a good one is because you get more information than you do just pulling it from the MLS. MLS, you're only going to get an address and a name. But Red X or Vulcan 7 or Espresso Agent or whatever will give you their name, their phone number that they can find, because it's basically like, you know, white pages or whatever they can find it, an email address if it's been associated with that person, like all kinds of things you can find on that. So those are the two ways to find it. I will tell you, if you are going to strictly, regardless which source you're going to use to get that information, you need to make sure that you are mailing things. If you're mailing things out, you need to make sure you're mailing it to the owner's mailing address, because the owner's mailing address doesn't necessarily always match the physical address of the property. And that's the best way to tell if they live in the property or if it's investment property too, by the way. So that's what I use for that. Now, renters, same thing, because I forgot to touch on that, is the renters. I go in and I pull all of the properties in the MLS that have leased out in the last 2 years. And I start with that list. And I literally just print that list out. And my husband and I, and I have one agent that's my production partner. We go through and we each divvy up the list and we each write handwritten invitations to those addresses for. So you won't have their name, but you have their address. And I usually will put a QR code like in the corner of something and say, you know, something to get them to want to respond to me, like click here or scan here for my free buyer guide. But in that, they have to give me their information. Because again, we're not just sending stuff out to send it out. You need to have a call to action to make people want to, one, provide value, so you can get their information. And then make sure you know you're asking them questions like, is it okay if I send you information? Because obviously, like the new laws and stuff in place for that.
What would you say also to an agent who is from a smaller community, a small market, right? Dallas is totally different, obviously, metro than some of the smaller communities. So I did have a friend text me before our meeting and ask me, she says, I'm in a small town. What would I do as far as getting people to show up to my open house? Does the strategy change, obviously, if Shauna is in a small market versus in Dallas?
So I'm glad you asked that question because yes, I know that I'm in a big market of Dallas, but guess what? I also was dual licensed in a very small community of like 3,000 people in Arkansas. And within 12 months, I became like the number two agent because what did I do? Nobody was doing open houses. So we started doing open houses. What I thought was interesting is after we started doing open houses, then all of a sudden the other agents jumped on board. But if I'm going to do something, one, I want to lead at it. I'm going to be the best at it. Okay. That's just my competitive nature. And so we started doing that. So I will tell you, if you say, well, nobody does that, then that to me gives you opportunity. That's opportunity. Just because other people aren't doing it doesn't mean anything. Okay. They're just going to sit back because guess what? I'm going to take their clients like I did. And then they're not going to be happy about that like they weren't. But here's the thing is I didn't call them. All of them were come list me calls. I'm here in Dallas listing homes in a small community in Mena, Arkansas. I didn't even meet these people. I have never even walked the property. I had somebody there in Mena that would go to the sign and lock box and take my pictures and I would list it and I would sell it. And that's, I got a very good reputation for that. So if you are in a small market, you need to be doing all the things that nobody else is doing. So the things I would do is I would host open houses. I don't care if you're on rural land or whatever. And you need to also make sure that you become friends and get to know the local business owners in your community. So one of the things I started doing up there was I was going to put together a small business group. And it ended up not happening, but then another agent did, and they're getting a lot of success from that because everybody knows that the people who know everything in the communities are the people who own the small businesses. And if you tell them they're going, oh, you need to go look at that house. She's got this listed. She's got that. They will refer you everybody you know. Also, I figured out that no one in that small community was supporting the schools. Where I live right now, it's like the Hunger Games trying to get in with these schools. You have like one of 50 people. I mean, you have like 50 different agents trying to get in with the schools. You're one of 50 people. I'm not about that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it different. I'm going to support them in ways of like donations and things like that. I'm not going to pay $2,000 to be on a list so that I can market myself at an event where there's 50 other agents. Like, where's that money going? So I immediately called the school and I said, hey, does anybody here from the real estate area, do they support the schools in any way? And if so, how are they doing that? And they said, no, they aren't. And I said, if somebody was going to support your schools, what would be something that would be high on that list? And she goes, you know what? We have like, it was like a lower like price area, like lower income area. She goes, we have like a box in the nurse's office that has like deodorants, feminine products, toothbrushes, all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm gonna make a donation for you. And we went and got a whole bunch of stuff, like travel size stuff, and we donated it. And then they put it all over their social media. And then the agents got really mad because they tagged us in it. And then, which by the way, I love that. I don't mind making people mad. And then we also did an Easter egg hunt at the local park. We rented out the park there because nobody was doing it. And we had half the town show up. It was great. And so many people came up to us and said, you know what? It is so great what you're doing in this community. No one else is doing this. And we really appreciate everything that you're doing. And we can't wait till next year. And so it ended up being a huge event. And now other agents are following suit, which I'm fine. I'm fine with. I love inspiring other people because here's the thing is I'm going to be successful no matter where I'm at. So you're either going to step up or you better step aside. That's just the way it's going to be, right? So you have to go into things thinking from a problem. Because here's the thing is what people don't understand is, and this is across the board in our industry, I think in small businesses in general, the more problems you can solve, the more money you can make. So if you look at things from what is going on here that is a good thing and what are some things here that are lacking and try to figure out how to solve those problems, there's so much opportunity for you. But if you lean into the community, like, so by the way, I'm moving to a small town. It's only 15 minutes from the market I'm number one in here, but I've already started reaching out to the Facebook posts and everything and asking people if they would do a small business networking group. And I have over 30 people wanting to be a part of it. The chamber got a hold of me and said, hey, we want to be a part of this and we want to meet with you. We want to figure out how we can do more things in the community. And I got involved with the schools and I mean, like you name it, my face is everywhere. And I haven't even moved there yet. I don't move there till Monday. And everybody already knows who I am. So
Love that.
I think it's super important. And also go around and like do videos and interview other business owners and ask them about their business and ask to promote them. Like those are all the things that you can do in a small town to get business.
Yeah, Shauna, one thing too from the comments was they wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on your QR code that you have at the front of the entry of your open houses. So expand on the sign-in sheet, how that looks, like what does that say on that flyer? Where is that QR code sending them to? What does that look like?
I'm going to do one better for you. I'm on my laptop, so give me a sec, but I am actually going to give you the link that has all of that stuff.
And guys, feel free to put any questions that you have in the chat. We've got about 10 minutes left, so I want to make sure we can get to any questions that you guys might have.
I'm going to put the link in there, but my team is still, I was like, no, I want all of this stuff. So they gave me the link, but it doesn't have all of the things in there that I want. So we're going to update this. But if you have the link, you will get, if you just go back and click it, you will be able to have access to the information that we continue to put in there for you. And now I got to get back to the Zoom call.
We're actually going to try to launch this as like a midweek pod episode on our podcast, and I'll have some of the links and stuff in there. So if you guys want to go back and check in there too, I'm going to be posting it as a podcast midweek.
See. So here, I just put the link in there. I think it was under a comment, but it's only because I couldn't get to the bottom of the comments. That link will be continually updated with all the open house information, including that Canva image that has the picture of the house with the QR code with the verbiage that says, must sign in unless you're accompanied by a real estate agent.
So where are you sending them when they go to the QR code? Where does that actually send them? We've got the flyer that's on the door. Where is that sending them? Is that sending it to like Lofty or CRM? What is it sending it to? Like a sign-in card on a CRM?
So I think it's really important for you to try to automate as much as possible so you're not having to do anything physically. And so I always have everything going directly to my CRM, so I'm not having to enter any information physically. So when they scan it, it goes to a landing page for that specific address so that whenever they scan it and fill out their information, it tags that person as open house, the address. So I know exactly where I met that person or where they came in at. Because here's what I do after the open house. I didn't talk about this, but after the open house, I'm all about video. If you're not doing video, you're also going to be left behind. But I will go in front of the house. Let's say I'm doing one at 123 Main Street. I'll do a video in the front of the open house and say, hey, Nick, thank you so much for stopping by our open house at 123 Main Street. It was so nice to meet you. Here's my contact information. Would love to connect with you if you have any questions. If it's all right with you, I'll stay up to date on like the market and send you that information or blah, 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 whatever it is that your conversation is. Keep the video less than a minute. You can text it directly from your camera on your phone. You don't need a system. I have BombBomb. I have all that. You don't need it. Just take a video from your camera, send it to them. But here's what I do is I tell people when they come through the open house and go, oh, hey, did you scan the QR code when you came in? Because I usually have something to give, like a gift basket of something. So I started doing themed gift baskets. So in a couple months ago, I did a football themed, because football season had started, and I did a football themed one, and that has a whole bunch of stuff in there. I said, that way you can be entered into the drawing for our once a month giveaway for our big gift basket that has all these different things, plus gift cards and stuff to different places. And they said, yeah, I did. And I said, okay, just so you know, like just setting expectation. I said, just so you know, after the open house, I'm going to reach out to you and just give you my contact information. I'm not going to spam you because I don't have time for that. I said, but I am going to reach out to you, give you my contact information, and just thank you for coming by the open house. And I can't tell you how many people are like, thank you for letting me know that. And thank you for not spamming me. And then just telling people and just being honest. And then more important, the most important part of that is you do what you say you're going to do. So when you have an open house and you think it's 1 to 3, don't think at 3:01, you're pulling out of there. Like you need to give yourself some time for follow-up, which could take 15 to 20, 30 minutes, depending on how many people came to the open house.
Yeah. One more question in the group, Shauna. Somebody asked, what price point do you typically like to do open houses at? Is there a thought to picking a certain price point when you're looking at an open house?
It's hard to answer that question for somebody else. What I would give you advice on is you need to figure out who your ideal client is. Who is the person that you want to help buy and sell? Is that somebody that's going to have to sell one house to buy another? Is that going to be like a mid-level price point? Like here in Dallas-Fort, that's like 700 to a million would be like a buy up. You know, then you have an opportunity of potentially getting a listing on the other side. But then we're in the market where houses are sitting longer. And that's a lot of the reason why houses are sitting is because people who need to sell their home can't get them moved. And so they can't buy. So for me, I like the lower price points with the first-time home buyers, even though I have listings up to 5.5 million. I prefer when I'm helping buyers, if I'm doing open houses, I prefer the lower price points. But I will tell you, I'm starting to get where I also want to do listing or I want to do open houses on the higher price points. Because what I found out with the higher price points is they're not fighting over $500. Like it's actually like a lot less work to work with those people that have the money and are not going to fight. Because for them, it's just all about numbers, what makes sense. Versus somebody who has to like get every penny out of a deal, because those are the people who start asking you for your commission and things like that. I've never had one person who's in a higher price point over a million ask me about my compensation.
What is your thoughts on working where you want to work versus just taking whatever comes to you similar to like a referral-based business, right? Like I run a referral-based business. So my problem is I might get anything all over town. I might get low price, high price, investment properties, all the scatter plot of different type of properties. But speak to what type of primary lead source do you like and what's your favorite?
Yeah.
And then how do you use open houses to get the exact type of client that you want?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, I sell between 80 and 100 homes a year without paying for any leads. And my biggest lead source is actually agent-to-agent referrals. Like 70% of my business is agent-to-agent referrals. So that, what he just said about getting deals like far away in different areas and stuff like that and different price points is a thing. Because you get a call, you have no, they just know you're in Dallas. It's like being in California. If you live in California, they think you service the whole state, right? Dallas-Fort Worth is a very big metroplex. It's 2 hours from one side of the metroplex to the other. The mistake that I made and that I'm going to urge you not to make is to learn to pre-vet the referral before you take the referral. Because I've had it where people have, and I got that from Shannon Mangin. She said that she just starts asking questions. Okay, what can you tell me about this client? If that person starts saying, well, you know, they're kind of, they need their hand held. They're going to ask a lot of questions. They're very needy. She's thinking the whole time, like, that's not going to be a good fit for me. Not going to be a good fit for me. And so what she does is she says, you know what? I appreciate you reaching out to me, but it sounds like that's probably not going to be a good fit for my business. And or I'm not going to be a good fit for that client. So I appreciate the opportunity, but best of luck. And I can give you some other names if you want or something. So I would say that. And that really is a real thing, because here's what you have to understand is if you get a deal, let's say it's, and this happens to me, this is why I'm having a problem and I'm trying to do more micro now, is it's an hour and a half sometimes for me to go one way to a listing. Well, guess what? All the sign calls and everything's going to be, it's going to be in that area. Guess what the people are going to be buying and wanting to buy, and it's going to be in that area. So now I've just started referring those deals out to other agents that actually work those areas and live in that area. I was actually on the way to a listing appointment. It was really bad. I was on the way to a listing appointment over Thanksgiving. It was an hour and a half from where I came from. And then I looked up where I actually am moving to. It was an hour and 51 minutes one way from my house to that listing. I was 15 minutes out from that listing appointment. I turned my car around and I told him, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm going to have to cancel this listing appointment.
I can see how open houses can be that opportunity to put you in the exact neighborhood that you want to be in and working in, and the area that's close to your house. So I agree with you 100%. Pick the area you want to work open houses. And that may be a good way for agents to pick open houses, is saying, hey, I want to be in that community. So let me proactively put myself there. But Shauna, we are getting tight on time and I want to be respectful of everybody's time. So I'm going to kind of do the same thing I do on the podcast, but I'm going to have you frame it up around open houses. So speak to an agent that maybe is saying, I haven't had the best success with open houses and I'm wanting to do better. I'm wanting to use this lead source as a way for me to generate business. What would you tell that maybe discouraged agent who has had a few not so successful open houses and maybe is looking to level that up? What would you tell that agent? And then we'll close it out.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one, I want you to know that it doesn't matter what market you're in, you can be super successful with open houses, but with like anything, you have to be consistent. And you need to learn how to do really well with talking to people and asking the right questions to get them to convert. We're in a land of ChatGPT. There's no reason why you don't know how to answer a question or like talk to somebody and have a normal conversation. We are just human, like they're human as well, just asking questions. If you come from a place of value and don't expect anything in return, that's where the magic happens. But you can absolutely be good in open houses. It could be your number one lead source. You could absolutely crush it and kill it, but you have to have a system and process around it or you won't be able to scale.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. And look, we're going to get some of those. If you have something too that we can maybe share in the link on the podcast, we'll definitely do that as far as like an open house checklist, those kind of things. So if you've got all that. So we'll be sharing that in the details of the podcast as well. So I will put that as well. If you need it, shoot me a message on Instagram. I can get it to you if you didn't grab it already in the call. But Shauna, thank you so much for being a part of our call today and spending your time with us.
Yeah, I hope you guys got some value from this. I appreciate the opportunity so much. You have no idea. And I love seeing some new faces on here. So if we have not connected on social media, I urge you to reach out to me. That's my number one place to be able to have conversations. But thank you so much for the opportunity. And I hope you guys got some value out of it.
Absolutely. 100%. Tons of notes. Really, really appreciate you spending your time with us today. So
thank you.
And we appreciate everybody supporting everything we do. So all the best, you guys. Thank you so much. Bye. And you guys have an amazing day.